Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you are a loving God and a loving Father. As we open your word today, Father, speak to our hearts. It's in your Son's great name we pray. Amen. Again, happy Father's Day. And at the end of the service, as you make your way to the back, we do have a gift for you, dads, and be sure to pick one of those up. Just something little as a reminder, something you'd slip into your pocket, and something that'll just remind you that we think of you, that we pray for you, that we care for you, that we love you, and we just want you to know that we care for you. Let's turn to 1 Kings today, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. May not be the typical Father's Day message, but I want to draw our attention and draw some thoughts from this passage because it is a dad speaking to his son. Last words are extremely important. I've used this example before, but I remember as we moved in on February 28th, 2015, had our first Sunday here, March 1st, 2015. Monday, March 2nd, 2015. I remember having a 45-minute conversation with my dad on the phone. My dad had been, as his health had been poor at best, but we had this opportunity to talk for 45 minutes, and it sounded like he was doing great. And he said, "Tom, I'm so proud of you, and I'm so thankful that God has directed you to Walnut Ridge. Fulfill the ministry that God has called you to do." And the next day, I got a phone call at 7 o'clock in the morning from my sister that my dad had slipped into eternity that night. Those words have stuck with me. I remember that moment when I received that call. And many of you have gone through that experience where you've experienced those last words of that loved one who has slipped into eternity, and what an impact they make on our hearts and on our lives. And as Pastor Jason read this passage this morning, we see that David is at the end of his life. He has lived a long life. He has been the king of Israel. He has had the ups and downs that all of us have as fathers because he was an imperfect individual. He was a man after God's own heart, but still at that point, there were things that he had done in his life that probably we would just cringe at, and we do cringe at when we read some of those accounts. But he was a man, he was a dad, he was a father, he had a heart for God. And this morning, I want us to be challenged, men especially, I want us to be challenged in that respect. How do we, young men who are here, how do you become men after God's own heart? How do you have a passion and a desire to serve God? And men, many of us have grown, and our kids are grown up, and now we have grandkids, and we've enjoyed the time that we've had our grandkids. Now, I'm not saying we haven't been worn out a little bit, but we have had a great time with our grandkids here. And it is amazing to see, as John wrote in 2 John chapter 4, to see our children walking with God. And as we have our grandchildren with us and we see their hearts for God and their desire to sing the songs that bring praise to God, as we could talk about Bible stories and different things like that, and just to hear what is going on in their lives spiritually, we understand that our children are instilling that into our grandchildren, of which we are very thankful. And so this morning, as we think of this passage of Scripture, as I said earlier, some of us have had great experiences with our fathers. They've just led us, and they've guided us, and they've directed us. There are some of us who have had difficult experiences with our fathers, and I understand that. And some, again, have had absentee fathers. But how do we view our Heavenly Father? And Pastor Aaron just led us before the throne of God this morning to recognize that great God that we have, who is our Father, who cares for us, who cares for every one of our needs. And so this morning, I want to take this passage of Scripture, just three quick points that help us to just break this down a little bit, and fathers, to encourage us as we continue to instill into the lives of our kids. Being on this end of it, we are still building into our kids. Even though they're grown, they're out of the house, we're empty nesters, we still have this opportunity. And those of you who may not have kids around, we have kids in this building that need examples of godliness. Men who are walking after God's heart, who are demonstrating and are great examples of what God is doing in their hearts and lives. So let's look at this passage, 1 Kings chapter 2. And when David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, "I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commands, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word, that he spoke concerning me, saying, 'If your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man upon the throne of Israel.'" God has commanded us men to speak truth into our kids' lives, into our grandchildren's lives. As men in this church, as elder men in this church, are we speaking that truth into the lives of some younger man, or some young man, or some young lady? And our first point here is there's no time like the present. David is speaking to Solomon at the end of his life. He has brought him in. He has brought him into his presence and says, "Solomon, I want to share with you a few words. I want you to follow my example. I want you to understand what it means to walk with God." I'm reminded of this, the verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Moses is writing this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house, and on your gates." There's no time like the present to speak about the truths of God. In everything that we do, as we walk along the way, as we stand up, as we sit down, as we go about life, are we speaking the truth of the Word of God into the lives of our children and into the lives of our grandchildren? The other day, we had an opportunity just to take a ride with the kids out to Fairbank, and you know that drive and how pretty it is driving out, and just being able to talk about God as we made that trip out, talking about God's creation, talking about the things of the Lord as we drove out and drove back in. Do we take the time, and do we speak those words that are building up and edifying? I remember a story my dad told me later on in life. I didn't realize this, but my dad used to play softball. He used to play fast pitch softball in an industrial league, and he was one of those guys where other companies were coming to him and saying, "Hey, if you come and play ball for us, we got a job for you." And I remember my dad talking about the one time my grandfather went with him to a ball game. And my dad said, that night I was 3 for 4. I had 3 home runs, 1 over the center field lights. The last time I was up, I struck out. Got in the car. My dad didn't say a word to me other than, why did you swing at that last pitch? We think it's funny, but that had a lasting impression on my dad. Because I'm 30 years old, 35 years old, and he's telling me that story. Words mean something. How we speak into our kids' lives means something. Are we taking every opportunity? There's no time like the present to speak truth into our kids' lives. Is God speaking into our lives so that we can speak that same truth into our kids' lives, into our grandkids' lives, into children that are here in this building? Are we a model of Jesus Christ? We're not perfect. And they, our children, our grandchildren, others see the imperfections of our life. But that shouldn't stop us from continuing to grow in our relationship with Christ. So there's no time like the present. I'm speaking to dads in particular, but for all of us, there is this opportunity to share Christ. There is this opportunity to model Christ, and let's start now. The next thing that we see is in verses 2 and 3. We see that there is timeless instruction that David is giving to Solomon. There's nothing new that David is speaking about here, but he's giving him this timeless instruction. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, which is right, the first commandment with promise, that you may live long on the earth. And we think, wow, that's a great commandment. And growing up, I always thought, you know what, I'm going to obey my parents so that I live a long time. Well, when you start to look into the Old Testament, you realize disobedient children could be stoned to death if their parents couldn't control them. And they could bring them to the elders, and they could say, you may not live very long if you're not obeying your parents. Now, that's incentive, isn't it? That's an incentive to obey your parents. But we're teaching them truth. We're teaching them long-lasting truth. We're teaching them the whole word. 2 Samuel chapter 2. Verses 12 through 16, David is saying, here are the words that God has spoken to us. Here is the word that God has given to me. He challenged me to walk with him at a young age. And if I walked with him and if I believed his truth, then there will be somebody sitting on the throne from our family for generations to come. And Solomon, my heart was to walk with God. Did I fail? Yes, there were times that I failed, but I continually ran to God. I continued to walk with him. Now let's look at some of these instructions that David gives to Solomon. And they're simple truths. The first one is there in verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his way. Wow. Be strong. Be strong. What is David telling Solomon? Well, he's saying physically be powerful. Keep in shape. Maybe he's saying that. He's maybe talking about forcefulness. Be strong. But I think, as we continue to go through that definition, it says, be able to withstand pressure. How do we train our children? How do we train our grandchildren? How do we instill into their lives this idea of being able to withstand pressure? We try to warn them. We try to give them instruction. We seek to lay out these opportunities in their lives. And you know, you need to withstand some of the things that are going to come. You're going to be challenged in your faith. You're going to be challenged in your walk with God. Be strong. Be ready to stand up to that kind of pressure. You may be the one who's going in the opposite direction of everything else that's going on. Our oldest daughter, Mandy, was one of those who was willing to stand up for what she believed. She was willing to stand when everybody else was going in the other direction, and she knew that it was wrong, and she was going to make a statement that I am going to stand for God. I don't care what it cost me. And we saw Mandy making that kind of stand. And so teach our children to be strong, be able to withstand the pressure that comes and the intensity that comes along with that. It's very easy to just give in. It's very easy just to fold. It's very easy to just go along with the crowd. But David is telling Solomon, I know what the pressures are going to be that you're going to face. I know what the difficulties are going to be that you're going to face. Solomon, be strong. The second thing that we see, in verse 2, is that he says, show yourself a man. Now, he's speaking specifically to Solomon, but he's speaking to women too, as we take this passage and we bring it up to what we're talking about this morning. He's saying, show yourself. Cause to be visible. Exhibit, present, allow to be perceived, demonstrate or prove. Show yourself, Solomon. Show yourself to be a man. What kind of man you are, what kind of character you have. And dads, as we are instilling those kind of things into our sons' lives, we say, stand up and be a man. Make a stand. Be visible. Make sure that people know what you stand for. And the same is true for our young ladies. That they are making a stand, that they are able to show themselves. Show what they believe. Show what they understand. Show that they are followers of Jesus Christ. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men that they might know. That they might know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. So David's telling Solomon to be strong, to show yourself a man. The third thing that we see is that he was to keep the charge. He was to keep the charge of the Lord your God. Men, we are charged to raise our children to follow after Christ. We are charged to be the example in our home. We are charged to love our wives as Christ has loved the church. We are charged to speak the truth in love. We are charged to present the Word of God in its entirety to our children, that they might be able to walk with God. And so David is telling Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord your God. To retain possession of, to reserve, to store. There isn't this wishy-washy attitude that we have, you know, changing with the tide of secular thought. Keep this charge. Here is the truth of the Word of God. We believe this to be the Word of God. Stand strong on the Word of God, because this is unchanging truth. And again, dads, we need to be growing in that truth. We need to be growing in that understanding of the Word of God so that we might present that to our children, that they may see us keeping the charge that God has given to us. As all believers, we are charged in that way. You know, what is this charge? This charge is being entrusted with a task or a demand as a praise for service. To guard or to watch. It's a requirement. It's an obligation. You know, Solomon, keep this truth. Keep what God has charged to you. And David goes on in verse 3 and he says, walk in the ways. Walk in his ways. Are we setting a path to be followed? Are we walking in the truth of the Word of God? Are our children able to see that we are moving in the ways of God as we live and as we work and as we seek to follow after God? David is saying, walk in that truth. We don't read it here, but I think David is also saying, follow my example. Walk as I walked. Live the way I lived. Follow after God the same way that I followed after God. May you be known, Solomon, as a man after God's own heart. Walk in that truth. And again, he says, keep. He tells him to keep. Keep the statutes, his commands, his rules, his testimonies, as it was written. Keep the law of God. Continue to walk in the keep those things. Guard them. It carries the idea of caring for and keeping in custody these truths, the precepts of God, his statutes, his commandments, his rules, his testimonies, everything that is wrapped up in the Ten Commandments. And as Jesus shares those things, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The statutes and the principles of God. Men, as our children look at us, are they seeing us loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are they seeing us love others as Christ has loved us? Because we're keeping those testimonies, those statutes, those commandments, those rules. Or that we might set the example. And we might set the example for our children, for the children of this church. If we consider ourselves family, that's what our responsibility is to demonstrate how to walk with God through this life. And so these are timeless instructions. There's no time like the present to start to teach those things. These are timeless instructions. They were there from the time of Moses. Here is David passing them on to Solomon. Here we read them today, and the same is true today that we continue to teach these things. What is the benefit? What is the benefit of listening? There is a benefit as we follow after God. There are difficult times. There are difficult times when we need to make a stand for Christ. But Scripture tells us that we are to train up a child in the way they should go. In Proverbs chapter 22, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. What is the benefit of doing these things? What is the benefit of teaching these things? What is the heart of all of this? It's to see our children walking with God. 2 John chapter 2, verse 4. 2 John verse 4 says that there is no greater joy than to hear that our children are walking with the Lord. There's benefit to us as parents as we are blessed as we see our children walking with Christ. As we see our grandchildren coming to know Christ at a young age, as they continue to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. There's great reward. And again, it's wonderful to see your children passing on those things that you taught them. There's great reward in that. As you see your grandchildren singing God's word, praising God, reading God's word. There's benefit. We prosper. David tells Solomon, you're going to succeed. Where do we succeed? We succeed in the things of life. We succeed because we are walking with God. We succeed in the fact that we see God blessing in ways that we never thought that God could bless. We allow our children to see how we have succeeded as we've flourished as God has done his work in our hearts and lives. And we teach them that this prospering doesn't necessarily mean the best house, the best car, the most money, getting anything that we want, but we prosper because we are seeing God do his work in us and that transforming work that happens. John chapter 15 says the only way that we are going to flourish is by abiding in Christ, and may we be teaching that truth. David is sharing with Solomon his heart. He is saying, David, when I take an assessment of my life, when now that I'm at the end and I know that my days are short, let me just give you these last words. Let me just give you these instructions. Let me just share with you these timeless truths that I've lived my life by. As fathers, as husbands, as grandparents, as men within this church, the challenge is to us to be that example of godliness. The challenge to us is to live out Christ so that others might see Christ living in us. Can we say, like David, follow my example? Can we reiterate this timeless truths and give this timeless instruction to our kids and our grandkids? Do they see it being demonstrated in our lives? Can we say that there is great reward in following Jesus? Oh, there is great reward. There is great joy in seeing that our children are walking with Christ. So today, as we leave this morning, and as we've sung the music that we've sung, we're reminded of our great Heavenly Father. Our great Heavenly Father who loved us so much, who demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is no way that we could show that kind of love, the immensity of that kind of love to our children, but we try. We seek to do that as we follow after Christ, as we're willing to give up all to show our children that God, His Word, Jesus Christ, this truth is central to all that we are and our very being. Oh, that we might be challenged today, ladies, as much as we as men, to walk in the truth of God's word, to be an example, to teach these truths, that God might raise up among us godly children who have a heart for Him, who do amazing things for God. We don't know if we have the next Billy Graham in our congregation. We don't know if we have the next great preacher, the next great missionary. But our responsibility is to model Christ. And I pray that we might be about that as men. First and foremost, we are given that responsibility. We are given that challenge and that charge. May Christ be seen in us. Maybe this morning you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and maybe today you're thinking, I want to be that kind of dad. I want to instill that kind of truth. I want to live in that way that my children might see Christ in me in everything that I do and everything that I am. And this morning I would challenge you to take that first step. I would challenge you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know that if you've attended here for any period of time, you have heard the message of the gospel, that we are all in need of a Savior, that we are all fall short. But we have a great Heavenly Father who loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us so that we might not face the wrath of God. What a God we have. What a God we serve. And may God do His work in our hearts and lives as we seek to live for Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for the challenge of Your Word. Father, I pray that You might help us as men, as we think of Father's Day today, that we might take up the challenge that today, from this point forward, that we might live for Christ in all that we do, that we might be an example of godliness, that we might seek to instill that truth in those young children that You've placed into our care, into our adult children. I pray that we might continue to share the truth of the message of the gospel. There is no time like the present to start. We have the timeless instruction of Your Word. And Father, we see that there is great benefit in walking with You because we prosper and we flourish in the truth of Your Son's, in the truth of Your Word. We love You, Father. I pray that if there is someone here this morning that needs to put their faith and trust in You, I pray that today might be that day, that they might walk this aisle, that they might meet me down here in front and say, Pastor, today I want to put my faith and trust in You. We love You, Father. We are so thankful that we can cry, Abba, Father, that we can run into Your presence, that we can fall at Your feet, that we can bring every request to You because we know that You care for us. Father, we love You. Thank You for this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.